Welcome back to Super Tatis for Parshas Emor. We will start with our stories. The first is a story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and there was a particular Rav who, throughout their experiences, came across a Gentile who had a Gemara that was said to be owned by the Vilna Gaon, and they had an opportunity to look at it. And when they reviewed it, they found that there was wax, melted wax, on one of the pages. And this just lit up his heart. He said, I can't believe it. This was from the candle when the Gro was sitting and learning. This was right here. These pages are the pages he turned. This is from his candle. He was, he just had all these feelings about how much he loved the Gro and how much he was machshiv his Torah and everything else. And he said, okay, this is something that really is, you know, it's of extreme value. So he asked the Gentile who was selling it the price, and the price was tens upon tens of thousands of dollars in, you know, as converted, meaning to say it was enough to buy an automobile. And he thought about it, and he really felt like this was something of value. So he spoke to others who could pull together the money, and he was trying to figure out whether this was the right thing to do. So he went to visit none other than Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, when posed with the question, gave it a little bit of time to think, and then blurted out 40 shekel. Said, this is the price that we pay for a used Gemara. He said, but wait a minute, this was the Gruz Gemara. He said, right, but it's a used Gemara. Okay, but did you see there's wax here from the Gruz candle? He said, we don't need to look through and find and buy at such a price the wax, melted wax from the era of the Gruz. That's not what we do. It's usher to waste the money of a Jew. This is a waste. You shouldn't do it. And he tried to push back, test the theory in one way or another, and Rav Shlomo Zalman would have nothing of it. And this particular Rav kind of left feeling slightly dejected, but he accepted what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. The story goes even further. He said, look, several weeks later, he was with Rav Shlomo Zalman yet once again, and there were individuals who were collecting for a particular cause of need. And Rav Shlomo Zalman accessed his funds, and he took tons upon tons of shkolim worth tens of thousands of dollars and gave it to these collectors for the purposes of whatever they were collecting for a significant need. And obviously the Rav, who had asked him the Shaila before and was told, don't waste your money, he was quizzical. And when Rav Shlomo Zalman understood that, he said, look, a person needs to know where to put their feelings. To waste their money on drops of wax from the time of the Gro, that's not our Avodas Hashem. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes send us people in a particular action, and we can rise out of it. But we need to think about it through the Torah Hashkafas and to understand that occasionally it's not really built on the Torah Hashkafas. Here, there are Jews to help, and this is something that we need to do. So there's a lot of lekachs from this story. My friend, who I'll make anonymous but may hear this, Rabbeinu Daniel, made a sense and said, you know, this is something which can help us in a certain way fight our natural inclinations towards sentimentality. Sentimentality is okay in certain senses, but it should never be an impediment to our Avodas Hashem. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, another part of the story, is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a certain amount of money with the intent that we're supposed to use it for proper purposes. And if we do it, don't do it, it could be viewed as a misappropriation. So that's the idea Next story is a story about Rav Rafael Baruch Toledano, who is a Rav in Morocco, and just a thought about him. Apparently there was a lot of people were getting sick, young people, old people, and most people in his area, it was apparently boils and stuff on their skin. It was very, very uncomfortable. And they were not particularly well off either. And nobody wanted to go near these sick people except for the Rav. Rav Toledano would just go and he would hug them. He would go and he would take care of all their needs. He showed them such rachmanis. And he would go to all of them in their sick places, give them hugs and kisses, and try to do everything that he could do to try to help them get cleaned up since people weren't helping them, and to attend to any in any medical needs that he could. And then he gave them clothing and set their beds properly and found them places to stay until they were fixed, until they were healed. So it's just a story. Look, I mean, the way that people approach medical issues has varied, but there are tzaddikim who look past it and will just say, I hope the Ribbono Shel Olam helps me. So this is obviously a big question about the bitachon hishtadlus spectrum and where we should fall. We're not really allowed to act in a way that is above our actual level of bitachon, and if we do, the Chovos Levavos has harsh words about what the result would be, and he gives two possibilities, neither of which are something which is desirable. So we have to have a true assessment to really try to act like this, but at the same time, it is worthwhile to appreciate just the Avos Yisrael that could be within a human being. So there's a story about Rabbi Eliyahu Chaim Maizel, and he had visited a gvir, and the gvir tried to put forth in front of him a royal spread. And he had a hanhaga tova that he didn't really want to taste anything in the house of people who were giving money. So the gvir pushed him on it, and he said, "No. Doesn't it say v'kidashto liftoach rishon levarech rishon litom manu yafa rishon?" I mean, you get the first portion. It says that for a coin, so chira should be a talmud chacham should get the manu yafa. And he said no. He said, "Look, if that's true, you have to look at what Rashi says. Rashi in Parshas Emor says litom manu yafa rishon. He doesn't say why, because Rashi he doesn't say it. Why? Because it says al korcho v'kidashto is al korcho." And he says, when it comes to feeding somebody, you can't force them to eat. Obviously, for parents, we can. So maybe we could modify that when we present to our children. But anyway, that's the way it is. Emor starts with a Rashi. Emor v'amart la'hazir gedolim al-katanim, to give a warning for the adults about the katanim. What is this warning? So is it about Tuma or something else? Says the Chassam Sofer, says this is actually something, also another feature for Kohanim, is that since the Kohanim don't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, and Ketanim can't get part of the Kudshim to be able to eat on their own because of their avoda, that's why we need to say Lahasira Ketanim ala Gedolim here, is because if Chas V'Shalom you have a Kohen that is an orphan, that the Gedolim, the other Gedolim Kohanim, have to take care of them because he's got really nothing coming to him and he doesn't have a way to be Misparnes himself. Next, a little Chassidish Torah from Rav Menachem Mendel of Kosov, the Avos Shalom. So by Atzeres, we have the Rashi, according to Chazal, Kasha Alai Preidoschem, it's hard for me when you separate, says a Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is a classic Chassidish reading, it's not talking about when you separate from a Kadosh Baruch Hu after the holidays, but it's when there's a separation between a Jew and another Jew. It says, Kashalai Predaslem, I don't like it when you separate specifically when it's a lie, when you say it's L'Shem Shamayim and it's not. You know, a Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim is what it is. We have examples of those, and not every machlokas that is called L'Shem Shamayim does machlokas l'shem shamayim make. So therefore, we need to be very vigilant and thoughtful about that. Next, there's Torah from Moshe Feinstein. This Torah is that in Pasuk Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin, we have Smichos Parshios. It says first you have the Megadev, and the blasphemer, and then you have somebody who is Makeish, somebody who is going to abuse another man. Why are they next to each other? Says Ramosha that if a person is Mezalzel, they lessen Kadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, and they're kofir b'kvod shamayim, they're going to end up being a bein adam l'chaveru nightmare as well. And this is the fact that ethics can't really exist without Torah. They become mutable. And since all ethics can't exist without Torah, we need Torah, we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Last, a Pirkei Avos, Ezu Gibur. And he quotes the pasuk in Mishle, Tov erech apayim migibor umoshel birucho kolochid yir. So this is a kovishes yitzro. So that pasuk says that somebody who is slow to anger is greater than a gibor, a valiant one, or a strong one, and somebody who controls their emotions like or their ruach is greater than a person who sacks a city or who captures a city. So says the Gra in his Pirush on Mishle al Atar on that pasuk. And relevant for explaining this concept of kovishes yitzro, is that there are two. There's multiple kinds of yitzhar. There's kas and there's taiva. With respect to anger, the appropriate way to do it is go cold turkey, kill it, get rid of it. And with respect to taiva, that's impossible. We need taiva for the world to work, right? This is the Gemara talking about when the yitzhar. With certain taivas go, no chicken eggs, no people, no nothing. It is an impossibility for us to live without that. It's something that needs to be harnessed. So if that's true, we have a real chiluk in between the way we're supposed to deal with our yitzahara, between the ka'asani and the ta'avasani. And he says, if you look at this, you'll see this is analogous to somebody who is taking a city. He says, look, if you're going and you just set all ablaze and kill everybody, that's easy, more or less. Just, you know, surround the city and set it on fire or whatever it is. But if you're trying to capture everybody alive, that's really hard. He says that's the analogy here. Tov erech apayim, somebody who's not angry, mi gibur. That's just somebody who's, you know, going to kill everybody. The moshel berucho, but somebody who controls their emotions, mi lochid ir, from somebody who's going to capture a city. It's beautiful, beautiful inyan from the Gra. And also very, very important for us to understand when we find ourselves in a challenge, in a yitzer hara, what is the appropriate derech to take. Last, a thinking question. So we have in Pasuk Yud Dalet and Chaf Dalet, it says, Urgamu kol ha'eda, and Rashi says, we learn b'maimed kol eda, and we learn here the concept of shluchu shel adam kamoso, one's agent has an imputed status similar to oneself. So the question is, though, the Gemara Kitushin Mem Aleph through Mem Beis, it talks extensively about the Makor in the Torah of Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, and Rashi is tough because that Gemara doesn't mention this Kol Ha'eda about Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. So how do we resolve this Rashi with that Gemara? Thank you for learning with me, and have a wonderful Shabbos.